Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Marks and Riesel, 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. Broadcasting away from our Tasty Cake studio. We're at Citizens Bank Park, and the draft is tonight. Jay Wright will be there. We had a chance to catch up with Jay earlier, and, man, he's got four guys that could be going in the first round, and he tells us about all of them. Here it is.
Good to talk to you guys. How are you, John?
Oh, man, how are you?
We're doing, good, man.
We're doing great. You're coming off the second national championship, but you just lost almost your whole team.
I know. It was a gradual disintegration. we knew we were going to lose Jalen and obviously Mikhail. And then as Dante DiVincenzo started going through the process, you could see his stock was rising and rising, okay. And then we knew that was going to be a good move.
How long is this?
As it continued longer and longer, Omari did the same thing. His stock rose, and then right at the at the decision time, which was May 30th, he I think made a good decision to go. So we got some young guys in this program that eyes are lit up with great opportunity.
Coach, now listen, you built this powerhouse program of yours to a two-time national champion by primarily being able to develop players, right? You get guys come in at a certain level, and by the time they leave your program, they are much better offense basketball players and as well as men. But recently, listen, you get a lot of talented guys coming in. Your program is in the spotlight. Guys are going to get put in that sort of lottery projection or at least NBA projection, and they're going to want to leave early. So I'm just wondering, from your standpoint as a college coach and a recruiter, how does this affect how you, I guess, continue to try to build your program and sustain, I guess, this level of success that you've built Villanova into?
Well, we still like those thoroughbreds, those studs like you, Ike, when you went to Michigan State. We still like those kind of guys. We always like those guys. It's just hard to get them.
Right.
You know? And for whatever reason, I don't know. I really don't know what the reason is. It's probably a long discussion for another time. But I feel like we've gotten really good, talented players. They just didn't have the hype with them, you know, when they came in. And you can look at Omari Spellman's here 1 year, and hopefully going to be a first round draft choice. That's not a fluke, you got to be really good. He was good coming in here, and then he's very coachable. So he got better. Dante DiVincenzo really didn't have much hype at all coming in, but he was really talented, And so I hope it doesn't affect us, the success we've had. I hope it doesn't affect us in terms of still finding guys that we believe are still really talented and yet want to develop and want to get better. You know, it's a new challenge in that there are a lot of guys that are really hyped, that have a new interest in us, and that's good. But we just got to still, as long as those guys want to get better and want to come in and want to be a part of a team, then they're good for us. And we just got to be disciplined in our recruiting to stick with those kind of guys.
And you certainly have been that. And I didn't mean to, I guess, imply that maybe they weren't as good of players as some that go to other programs. I think I was more or less.
No, you're right, though. But the impression, with everybody is that they're not, and I know you weren't planning it, but that is the impression that's been out there. And so sometimes we get a little bit more credit that we developed them, which we do. Our assistants are great. Our assistant coaches do a great job working with these guys every day. But there's another part of it, too, that these are talented guys, and it's really, the question you ask is it's what's always been interesting to me, kind of why they didn't, why people didn't see that in them. And then being proud of their development too. You know, that's been important to us.
That's what makes you a great coach, Jay, is that you're able to see things that I guess a lot of these so-called experts or pundits aren't able to see in these guys.
And develop them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope we're I hope we can. And then, as we all know, some of it is luck, you know. Like, you have Dante DiVincenzo comes off the bench and gets 31 in a national championship game. I can't say we're exactly counting on that, but we weren't surprised, I'll tell you that. I mean, he practiced like that every day. He's had other games like that. We were fortunate that, you know, he's got the kind of personality, he loves the big moment.
Yeah, you can see that. So let's talk about some of these guys. You mentioned Amari Spellman, who people you're kind of hearing late first, early second. So he's going to be maybe in that situation right there. But I know a lot of 76ers fans are now centering on Bridges. And he would be a good comp to what they need, to maybe a Robert Covington type. But tell us a little bit more about Bridges. What's going to make him good in the NBA? And you're talking about defense. You're talking about three-point shooting. How does this game translate to the NBA?
Well, I think you're right. The Sixers do like him, and they've done great homework. They researched everything, interviewed him. They just put him through a killer workout. I mean, they know. They've definitely kicked the tires and checked under the hood. I'll tell you that. They do a good job. What's really special about him is he's got a versatility physically and mentally where he can play any position. You know, literally, if pressed into the situation, he could bring the ball up and get you into your offense. And then he can guard anybody from point guard to power forward. So, you know, that gives him great value. He's an outstanding shooter, so he can play as off the ball when, you know, with creative guys like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, you know, if those guys are making plays and get doubled and kick it out to him, he'll bang it, you know, and he's willing to play off other people. But if needed to be a go-to guy, you know, that can create his own shot, play out a pick and roll. He can do that too. He's just really versatile. And then mentally, I say he's got that versatility that he's really humble. You know, he could take on any role that, you know, a team asks him to, as a defender, as a scorer, as a complimentary player. He doesn't have an ego. He loves to win. He really loves to win. So, as you can tell, it's a pretty special guy.
Yeah, another special guy. That played for you this past year, helped you to a second that consensus national player of the year, Jalen Brunson. How do you see his game sort of fitting in at the NBA level?
That one, Ike, is probably a tough question for me, in that I'm very I got to start by saying I'm obviously very biased. You know, mm-hmm. We have had so many great players here. And great people, but if you look at the total package in terms of the kind of student, he graduated in 3 years, leader, intelligence on and off the court, competitor, winner, you know, he's won two national championships in his freshman year. He needed to be a complimentary player, a setup guy. He took that role on, you know. And, you know, his junior year, he needed to be the go-to guy, the leader. He took that role on. You know, I think he's the kind of guy in an NBA game, he can post you up. He can create shots for his teammates. He can score on his own if you need him to score. And he's going to be a great professional that sets an example for everybody else in the program. I just think he's incredibly valuable. The thing is, you know, the draft is built so much on potential. Mm-hmm. What a lot of guys have said to me is, you know, he's the safest pick in the draft. But I don't know what that means. You know, they're not telling me we're going to take him, you know, with the 10th pick or anything. They're just saying to me he's the safest pick in the draft. You know, you can't go wrong with him.
He's going to have a long career, for sure.
Yeah.
Whether it's as a complimentary guard or a starting guard. But he does a lot of things well, which is good for him. All right, Jay, I got to ask you about a guy that really, he's the most intriguing to me, which is Dante DiVincenzo. And like you said, kind of not came out of nowhere, but I don't know if I was expecting to see what we saw when he came onto the scene. Really, I guess, was it when Phil Booth went down, really Dante kind of stepped up and became one of your go-to scorers during the season?
Yeah, that's a good point, and that's a time I think when everybody else saw, you know, that he could carry a team. We had a game when Phil Booth was out, and he was out of the lineup, and I think Colin Gillespie was out of the lineup also. We played Butler at home, and he just dumped. No, I think Eric Paschal was out of the lineup. We had both of them out, and we had a home game against Butler, and Dante just dominated the game, totally dominated the game. He had like 30. I think he had 30 points in that game. He might have had a triple double. And you know, we weren't surprised. You know, but then everybody else started to see it. If you went back last year in the NCAA tournament in our game against Wisconsin, Dante had a monster game. You know, it's so I think people started to see it, but we knew it. You know, and Dante was. He was really primed to be the man on this year's team, and I thought he could have been one of the best players in college basketball. But, you know, in his good fortune, the NBA guys saw it early, and you know, he's going to have a chance to prove that, you know, next year, hopefully, in the NBA.
Yeah, he's athletic. He can shoot the three. They're the things they're looking for in the NBA. What is he in the NBA? Do you have a comp that you can think of a former player or a player right now with DiVincenzo? What do you think he is? The next level.
I think at the next level, he's a combo guard. You know, I think he can play off the ball. He can play the point for you at some times, and I think he's physical enough. I don't know if the NBA guys think this yet, but when they get him on the court, they're going to see it. His physical strength and athleticism is going to even allow him to play some three, and so even he can play against some bigger guys because he's so physically strong and athletic. Again, it's versatility. That's really valuable in today's game.
And Omari, obviously your last guy there, really, I guess, is kind of lighting a little spark under a lot of GMs. Some of his athleticism, his ability to shoot from the outside, you kind of see him as a stretch four or a three at the NBA level?
Yeah, I mean, that's like he's got that skill level, like as a stretch three, stretch four, but I think the way the NBA game's going, I think certain guys are even looking at him as being able to play the five spot in the NBA, similar to a Draymond Green. You know,
right.
Some undersized guys now are becoming valuable to NBA guys, and certain teams are looking at him that way because he's strong. You know, he's 245, 50 pounds, and really strong and explosive. You know, they have. Those power plates they use in the testing, you know, where they measure your explosion off the floor, and he tested, you know, as high as anybody on a lot of the teams. So he's really explosive and powerful. The thing about him is that he's truly one of those potential guys. You know, he hasn't come close to what he can be. And what's interesting about him is when we first saw him as a sophomore, he was really a wing player. Like you're saying, Ike, he was like a 3'4". He was only 6'7". But he grew, you know, while he was in high school to 6'9", 6'10", put on weight, and became a five-man in high school. But his whole life, he'd really been a wing. So he's got great perimeter skills.
That's Jay Wright, the coach of the champion Villanova Wildcats. Jay, the first one feel differently than the second championship. In the first one, it was the unbelievable game against North Carolina, the fantastic finish. This one, I guess every season has its own personality, but did this feel any different than the first one, and how does it feel right now?
Yes, it was different. Yeah, that first one in anything you do in life, that first one's always special, you know? And the way it ended, you know, it was so exciting. And, you know, everything's new to you, you know? You don't know. You win the game, and then you don't even know what you're supposed to do next. You don't know where you don't know after you shake hands, where do you go? You know, you have people, there's confetti coming down. You got people grabbing at you. Okay, you walk over here. You get the trophy. You come up on the the stage. You know, all right, now you cut down the nets. You know, they're dragging you around. All right, now you do the media. So after you do it one time, you know, the game's over. You know what you're supposed to do. You did this before. But the second time, as you go through the process, is really, really enjoyable as a competitor because you know what you have to do. You know if your team's doing it or not. And, you know, this year, you're watching your guys do it, you know, and you know you've got guys on your team like Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, Dante DiVincenzo. Those guys they'd been there, and you're watching them, and you know they know you're on the right path. And you know as a coach they're on the right path. And you just I feel like you get to enjoy it on a competitor's level in a completely different way. You know, the game's over. You're not as excited, but you are almost more fulfilled because you got to enjoy every moment of it.
Jay, congratulations for the success of the team, for your players who are going to be drafted next year. But since you're Mr. Philadelphia and Philadelphia sports fan, obviously, I got to ask you about the 76ers before we get out of here. Did you talk to Brett at all about your guys, or have you talked to him since his season ended?
Yeah. I'm a Sixers fan. You know, I always tell him that when we talk. I say every once in a while I'll drop in and just I'll say, just remember, I'm coming from a fan's perspective here. Like, don't, you know, I can get a little crazy with it. But also there's a respect level for what he's done, and I share this with him in that I was so amazed that they were able to get past Miami, who they value veterans, you know, and they purposely build a team of veterans, which I thought would give the Sixers team trouble because, not because of talent, because experience in the playoffs. And, you know, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are going to be great pros, but they're rookies at the playoffs, you know, and the way he got them through that, I thought, was awesome. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. And then when they got to the next series, even though they lost a couple of their plays, the Celtics are veterans, man. They've been in it. They knew how to handle a playoff situation. And Sixers were in those games, man. You could see when it got close at the end, a couple of the young guys just hadn't been there before. But that learning experience is so valuable. You know, that series with the Celtics is something I think they'll always refer to. And it's going to be really helpful to them going forward. So I'm really excited about their future. And it's a really fun team. And it's not just the players. They've built a great culture. They're going to be able to bring people into that culture that are going to fit in and are going to want to be a part of it.
Like Bron, can Bron and Ben, we talk about it nonstop. You know how it is on WIP. Can Bron and Ben, can they coexist?
Can their games work together? They really can. And it's, you know, again, players know this. Depending on where players are in their career, LeBron wouldn't come in there thinking like, I got to be the leading scorer. He knows what, right. He's got talented guys around him. Players will figure out if they're good people and they're at the right point in their career, which those guys are. They'll figure out how the best way for them to function together.
Lurel Deng has made $119
really
million in his
too.
Career.
Like, Brett's not a guy, let's say, for instance, says, we're running this offense because this
million.
Is what I believe in. You know, he's going to look at it like, if they did
it's
it, he's going to say, this is what Brown does, this is what Ben does, and we're going to figure out how this works. And one thing you got to think about, if you have those three on the floor, that could be one of the best defensive teams ever in basketball. And I thought they did a great job of using Ben.
And he's due to make $36 million over the next 2 years.
Easy to fit in, not being a shooter. They improved his free throw shooting, and that's what he can be effective as long as he makes free throws, which he did in the playoffs. And I really think those guys could exist together. Not just exist. I think they could be really efficient together.
There he is, Ike, the champ. Once
right.
again,
two-time champ. Right.
Jay, thank you. Enjoy the draft, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.